The reading is Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will, and how do you say that word? And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and he will strike, and you will strike his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will put your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return."
Well, Happy New Year. I put a slide up here just so you would think I wasn't making that up off the top of my head. Came to me yesterday that I should say Happy New Year. It doesn't feel like New Year's anymore to me. Just, 6 days in, but I was thinking, man, it seems like a long time ago. And it's probably because Judy and I were in bed. Well, thank you. It is good to be back. But, well, it sounds like you guys had a good time. I see a drum kit up here. I need to know what was happening when I was not here.
Secrets you should not know.
There's much more I would like to tell you, but right now. So, I didn't know Rod played drums. He's been holding out on us for years. So the message for today, how to use your gifts. No, it's not. But Rod, thanks for doing that. Sounded like you guys had a good service. Where is Terry move? Where did he go? Oh, there he is. There you go. What's that?
The theme was stepping out of your comfort zone.
Yes, I'm sure that it was that. So, but thanks for preaching last week, Terry. It's good to have you up here. That's what I've heard.
We miss you, though.
Yeah. Well, thank you. But
it was amazing, Dave. I loved that you should
frame. What should I frame?
Well, I loved all you guys skiing.
Oh, our skiing picture. Yeah. It was at the distance. You couldn't see the pain. But we had a good time. It was a lot of fun. I don't know what you do at the end of the year or the beginning of the next year. A lot of people set New Year's resolutions, and but I was curious about this. And so, how many? Raise your hand. I don't want to know if you do resolutions. I want to know if sometime from Thanksgiving through January 6th, because the year's wrapping up, you think about how the last year went. You reflect at some level of, man, I wonder how this year's been, or what next year will be. Okay, so about half of us. I looked it up on the internet to find out, because you can find everything on the internet these days, and it turns out that 51% of people have some sort of active reflection process when the year comes to an end. And so 49% don't. And someday I'd be curious about those 49% to know if they ever do. But somewhere that 51% do something to sort of think about, you know, I wonder what the year brought for me and if I'm different than I was a year ago and that sort of thing. There's a few things that took place last year that I'm going to tell us about. I don't know if you caught these. I read some, and I was curious about some things. And one thing that happened last year, you might not know this, there was a mission to the sun. It wasn't manned, but it says, and I just put the text of it. It says, in August, NASA launched a $1.5 billion Parker solar probe on a mission to the sun. The spacecraft got its first up-close and personal look at the sun in early November, or at least it was 3.83 million miles away. And it'll make that trip 24 times. It's going to, in the next 7 years, it's going to look at the sun, which we can't do on our own. So we sent this probe out. I thought that was pretty interesting. I'd like to know how hot it gets that close. 3.8 million miles seems like a long ways, but apparently that's really close to the sun. And it's certainly closer than we are. Maybe remember this, the super blue blood moon. Mm-hmm. I remember the event. I just don't remember the title because that's a pretty chunky title. But here's what it is. Super blue blood moon is three lunar events coincided in 2018, producing a rare super blue blood moon for the first time since 1866. On the night of January 30th to 31st, saw a total lunar eclipse, which is called a blood moon, due to the reddish color, as well as a blue moon, which is the second full moon of the month. And not only that, the moon was also at its closest point to Earth's orbit, so it was a super moon. So it was a super blue blood moon. Ever remember that?
Yeah.
Giant, the moon. Really? Looked like it was on its way to Earth. It was so close. Last year, this happened. Apple became the first American publicly traded company to reach $1 trillion in value. This one, just Apple, which didn't even exist 20 years ago, now it crossed the $1 trillion company value mark. It's apparently a milestone. Jeff Bezos became the richest man in modern history, topping $150 billion. So it's one guy. He lives near here, and if anyone wants to invite him to church, feel free to bring him in. Be good if he knew Jesus, but we'll pass the hat twice when he's in town. So because of Jeff, though, this happened. Sears filed for bankruptcy this year, marking the end of an era for many Americans who remember paging through the massive Sears catalog. Anybody have that? I remember this. The Sears catalog would come and it would show up. It was like the phone books, just and which was great. And I would get it and I would start making my Christmas list. It always showed up sometime in August and September, and I would flipping through the toy pages because that's what you did. There was no internet, just giant catalog. And Sears is now bankrupt. Also, thanks to Jeff, after declaring bankruptcy late last year, the former toy giant Toys R Us shuttered all of its stores after more than 65 years. I didn't know they were around for 65 years. Toys R Us, 65 years. Anybody know his name? Jeffrey. Jeffrey the giraffe won't be gracing our advertising pages anymore. And we have actually a rare clip of an interview between Mr. Bezos and Jeffrey and him saying, hey, it was just business. So there was actually an article about Jeff Bezos and Amazon, and it listed all the companies that have gone out of business that somehow attribute themselves to Amazon. And Toys R Us was listed as the number one probable extinction. And I think they were trying to be clever because there was a giraffe involved in that sort of stuff. But things happened last year. I don't know if you remember this. 2 weeks ago when I preached, I made this statement. I was talking about popular Christmas myths. And one of them was that Christmas trees are not actually a fire safety hazard, but that's a myth that they are. And if you remember, I like to, if I'm wrong about something, I want you to know. I said this. This is what it said in this article about myths. It says, we hear about the dangers of Christmas trees, especially real ones, bursting into flames every year at Yuletide, yet neither real or artificial trees are that likely to catch fire. First, real trees simply don't spontaneously combust, even if you forget to water them. And secondly, actual cases of Christmas trees causing residential fires are extremely rare. So this is an outlet in my wall that... you remember the text you got, Rod, that said, are you still up? Do you remember that one? Yeah. I texted Rod and Eric because I wanted to make sure I wasn't about to die. And it turns out, so here's the outlet that was in the wall behind the Christmas tree. And it melted itself. I didn't do it. And that's, you can see my Christmas tree is a plug-in's length away from that wall outlet, proving that Christmas trees are not a fire hazard, because if they were, my house would have gone up in an inferno when this happened. So as long as your tree is 3 inches away, it will not catch fire. So, like I said, if I'm wrong, I'll tell you, but when I'm right, Christmas tree. What? Well, no, I got the outlet changed. That's why I have friends. But, Eric was the first one to reply back, so he came over and fixed my outlet. And it's all nice and new now and all. But so that happened right near the end of the year. And this, not the dime. Anybody know what's next to that dime? That is a kidney stone. That there.
That tiny thing.
I'm not receiving that. That's right. It's right here. If you want to look later, this is it. And I want you to understand how committed I am to communicating the gospel to you. I had this kidney stone inside me. And without going into it, you know, they go out. I was on my way to Leavenworth with my family, stopped at a gas station restroom. And if you've never had kidney stones, that you sort of know when they're on their move. And so I was pretty sure that it was exiting. And sure enough, at a public restroom in a not very cleanly place, that there it was, in the toilet bowl. And I thought, how bad do I want that? So I looked around, and there was hand soap and hand sanitizer on the wall. So in I went. Now, if that bothers you, you can talk to the elder board. But there was no way that this little baby that caused me more pain than it's humanly fathomable was getting away just because there was a little bit of public bathroom. So I got it because I wanted it. It's going to connect later, but I'll tell you how. And so the title of the sermon today is Rocky Roads. I couldn't find a picture with that many kidney stones, but so I'm going to read our text, and maybe you'll understand the text now in context. But I'm leaving out the first section. But if you don't know what happened, this is beginning in Genesis, and people did what they weren't supposed to do. They were specifically told, you can do all this stuff, but don't do that, and they did. And so this is what happened, and it's called the fall of man. It's when sin entered the universe. And what I think escaped some people is that the universe fundamentally changed with the infusion of sin. We've been talking about this in Sunday school for 8 weeks now. As Paul spends the first part of Romans trying to get us to understand that the wrath of God because of sin is actually infused into the creation. And this is what this is talking about here. And God says this. He says to the woman, I'm going to make your pains in childbearing severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband. We're going to cover this piece. We'll do that some other time. But your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. That's what he said to the woman. And then to Adam, he says this, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Here's the cause. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Now we read that, and we might think of it just as some like specific things. Okay, childbirth's going to be a bummer now, and you got to eat vegetables. That's kind of the, you might just read it that way, that's okay. The woman got their cost, and the man got a worst one, but you might just think it's that simple, but it isn't. What happened here was the corruption of everything. I didn't bring the stuff to do it, but if you just had a jar of clear water and you took some sort of ink or dye or anything that's not clear and put it in, it would very quickly infuse the entire thing. That's what happened when the creation had sin brought into it by people. There's a tangible, experiential cost to living in this world that wasn't intended when it was originally created. There was no pain in the original creation. There was no destruction in the original creation. God somehow, and I can't explain this, he'll have to later, somehow had the creation without the process of life that we think of growth and decay and death and all of that. All of that was not intended, nor was this. The kidney stone is a product of sin. Not mine, I hope. I've had them twice. Both times after Jerry. I'm just going to let that settle in for a minute. The first time, and why I'm talking about this is I learned a couple of things. One that was actually a new learning, and one that was a remembrance from this process of kidney stones. And before I explain what I learned, I want you to raise your hand. How many of you have had them? It's okay. We're friends here. All right. Not very many of us, right? And not many people get them. So people have said, oh, well, how bad is it? Because some people say it's as bad as childbirth, which I think is an undersell. So here's what a kidney... Anybody ever played jacks? Or at least know what they are?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, you bounce a ball and you have to pick up these jacks. Now imagine for a minute if you had a jack and you sharpened it. And you stuck it in your sinus and had to pull it out over a week. That's kidney stones right there. You have a sharpened jack in your sinus with a string on it, and you're told you have to keep it moving for a week, because that's how Jerry's lasted longer. But here's what I learned from this. Yeah, see, nowhere near enough sympathy happening here. The first time I got kidney stones, I had been to visit Jerry about a year earlier in the hospital. I haven't asked him if I'm not working here anymore, you understand. But he had gotten kidney stones. I went to see him. He's in the hospital. Jerry's the toughest guy I've ever met in my life, and he's bedridden and in obvious pain. And I'm there, and I feel bad, kind of like some of you, kind of, oh. Yeah, I mean, Marilyn, she at least made some noise, like, I feel really bad for you, but nothing on the scale of what's deserved. And I saw Jerry there, and I thought, let's go lift weights now. No, I didn't think that. But I remember thinking, this has to be bad. It wasn't for a year that I got them. And I had no idea what was going on in my body. I was at school, and it was like, something is wrong. And so I went to the ER, and they checked me out. They said, yeah, you have kidney stones. And the bummer when that happens is they just go, yeah, sorry, and here's some pills, and go home, and it'll go away someday. And it took 8 days then for it to go away. So I was glad they were gone, and I didn't think much about them again until about a month ago or 3 weeks ago, and Jerry got kidney stones again. Now, see, I should have seen it coming. But it was a bad case. I think probably worse. Would you say this one was worse than the last time? In my mind, it was worse, even because it lasted so much longer. So I was here in my office, and Jerry and I share an office, and he was obviously uncomfortable, so we were just talking about it, and I said, I'd like to pray for you. And he said, he told me a little story, that he had been down to pray for Leonard, and when he was praying for Leonard, that it was almost immediately after that his kidney stone came on. And what he was telling me was about that he has had this experience when praying for people that sometimes some of what is going on with the person he'll get. And when he was talking and saying it, comparing it, and Paul says that we share in the sufferings of Christ, and that if we honestly and really are wanting to engage in other people, we need to have a level of understanding of what's going on. He's had that happen. And he used some loosely associated scripture to back it up. In my mind, I'm sitting there thinking, hey, I guess I could, that's not really what that scripture means, I don't think. And I'm not thinking he's wrong, I'm just thinking, that happens to him, and that's a bummer, because he's got kidney stones. Now, I'm quick sometimes and slow others. So after he told me that, I prayed for him. That was Tuesday at 1 o'clock. At 10 o'clock Tuesday night, I'm sitting on the couch with my son, and there's a very clear, distinct feeling when kidney stones come on. And I look at my son, Zach, and I say, I think that I've got a kidney stone. And he thinks I'm kidding because I just told him about Jerry having kidney stones, and he's like, yeah, right, Dad. And I said, no, I think I do. And as I tried to ride out, I went to bed. I woke Judy up at 1. I said, I've got kidney stones. And then I managed to fall asleep kind of intermittently. And then a couple days later, when it really started to come out of the move, that's when you just can't do anything. I was at Fred Meyer standing in a line of 47 people waiting to buy Christmas stuff, and I could not stand. I could, but I had to get my Christmas stuff, so I waited through the line. And then I was trying to, okay, what do I do? I'm going to go home. And maybe it'll pass. Maybe it's not what it is. But I go home, and then I got to go. And I drive myself to the ER, and sure enough, I have kidney stones. Now, here's why I tell you all this. The first thing I learned from this is that I don't know everything. And I already know I don't know everything, but I only sort of know I don't know everything. And when I was with Jerry, and he was telling me about what has actually happened in his life, with praying for other people. And if you're honest and earnest about it before the Lord, that there's a cost for you. To be honest, I sort of dismissed that as something that happens to Jerry. And I honestly believe that's why this happened, was I have my own stuff I have to learn. I have my own eyes that need to be open to truths that may not be specifically spelled out, like when you pray for people, you will get kidney. It doesn't say that in here. But then when I went back through listening to Jerry, I said, and I was actually laying in a hospital bed and thought that this makes sense. I would never be able to grasp the magnitude of what Jerry was going through with his kidney stones if I never had them. And I wouldn't understand that he was right about the cost of praying for other people if this didn't happen. So the first lesson here is start paying attention so you don't have to have this happen, because God's going to teach you what he wants to teach you. He gave me a chance to get it. Now, I think that if you're a scientist and you're sitting there going, well, it's calcium and it's in his kidney, it would have happened anyhow. I don't know. But what I know is, I laid my hands on Jerry shortly after noon, and by the time I was in bed, I had the exact same thing that he had, right after he'd told me, this happens to me sometimes. At the end of the year, one of the things that I learned, and I will certainly have to learn again, is how much I still have to learn. I stand up here and I teach because I spent years studying the Bible, and there's probably more that I don't know than that I do know. And my life, I believe, is under Jerry's in terms of spiritual authority. He's the person who God put in my life, and I have acknowledged in my life to be the guy who shepherds me. And all of you have an impact in my life, but he's that guy. And I got casual about that. Did God punish me? No, he just taught me. You need to pay more attention. You need to listen to the guy you've said is the guy to speak to you. Now, that's just my lesson. It's not yours, unless it is. That's the first thing that the kidney stone taught me. The second thing is the reminder, and I know this, but it's this. Cursed is the ground because of you. We live in a world that is riddled with brokenness. Our bodies are riddled with brokenness. We've had a young man in the hospital who you'd think he's going to be healthy for years and in the hospital because of his liver, and we've had our old men in the hospital because of kidney stones, myself included in that, not just Jerry. And if we went around the room, our bodies are part of this. It's not just the ground that's broken because of us. Look what this says. Through painful toil, you will eat. And if we skip down, with painful labor, you will give birth. In both of these are the process of life now. For us to bring life into the world, there's pain. And it actually says extreme pain. For us to eat, which is what keeps us going, it'll be through painful toil. The process of life and growth and engagement in our creation that we've been put in involves pain. Kidney stone happens every once in a while. But pain in relationships? I went through, just in the last year, in just my own assessment, I went through the relationships that I've had difficulty in over this last year. I thought, man, it's not supposed to be that way. No, it is supposed to be that way. For now. Relationships are difficult. Engagement with people is challenging. I preached on this a few months ago that we are iron sharpening iron. It's hard to be with people. And even if you take people out of it, I like my jobs. I have two jobs. I teach and I'm a pastor, and I like both of them. And if given the chance, when I was just a teacher, I said, well, I like teaching, but I like summer more because I do. But I teach because that's where God's put me. I pastor, and doing what I do here, I can't really imagine. If you stop paying me, I'd still do it. Don't take me up on that. But but it's difficult. Engaging in people's lives and sharing in their pain. Somebody was talking earlier today about a pastor that stopped pastoring because they, and I think the line was, they said they're tired of hearing people's secrets or stories or something. That just the weight of all that was hard. It's hard. But your life's hard too. I was with some friends over the weekend. Friday night? Yeah, that's the weekend. And just the struggles that they go through. Some here at church. Some at work, some in their families. And I came back to this. Cursed is the ground because of you. We're not supposed to walk around feeling guilty about this. We're just supposed to be aware that this isn't God. I hear God get blamed for all the pain in the world. That's on us. Well, the pain in the world isn't on God. God has a redemptive process that, and again, we're talking about this in Sunday school. His redemptive process, though, covers all of human history. So that every person has a chance to be saved, because every person was lost. So for every person to be saved, we've got to go through all of human history, whenever that end time is. It says in Genesis, the end of Genesis, that the curse will be no more then, not now. We live under this curse, even as Christians. We do. If you don't think so, we do. And I would like to say that's okay, but it's not okay in one sense. Because we have to keep in our mind, God created things perfectly. We messed them up. God created our bodies perfectly. We messed them up. Relationships, perfect. Getting food, perfect. I believe Brussels sprouts are part of the fall. I honestly do. Or maybe they would taste better if there was no fall. That could be too. But here's what Jesus says. And we know this verse. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. This is, Jesus gives this long list of stuff that he's talking to his disciples about just before he leaves. And he says, I've told you these things so that you might have peace. Why? Because of this. In this world you will have trouble. That's a promise. He says that at the end, take heart, I have overcome the world. That doesn't mean he's ended it. Doesn't mean he's ended it. There's teaching out there that says that it has been ended for followers, honest followers of Christ who are in tune with his spirit. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. I do see that God will bless his people and he will care for his people, but I see his promise to his disciples, in this world you're going to have trouble. And I see the curse that came in at the very beginning, that life and growth is going to come out of pain, which has been true in my own life. If I hadn't gotten this, I would not have ever understood what Jerry was talking about, even though intellectually I understood it. My experience proved it to be true. Judy and I went bike riding yesterday. riding along a flat along the river. It was beautiful. The weather wasn't too cold at night. It was great. I had my bike on a, I don't know if it's a low gear or high gear, but so you could pedal and you didn't have to pedal very fast to go fast. It was, man, just, ooh, life was great. And then we got to a little hill. Little hill. And I was shifting down and shifting down and shifting down, and I'm pedaling as fast as I can, and my thighs thought they were going to explode to get up this little hill. But I understand how muscles work well enough to know that was when my muscles were growing, when they were being stretched and pained because of the fall. That's why. So you might get to the end of this and go, well, what's the point of this message? I don't know. No, I do. It's not supposed to be a negative message. What it is a reality as we head into this next year. I've been asking the Lord, okay, Lord, what's coming up this year? I wish He'd just give me a straight-out blueprint and like a New York headlines. He doesn't do that. But here I believe this, and you can check it next year. As He said, there's going to be difficulty. I don't know what. That could seem obvious because of what I've just got through saying, that life has difficulty, but I believe there's going to be difficulty, some in our church. And I believe I'm supposed to say that. That's the only reason why I would. But we can prepare ourselves for that because of this. In this world, we're going to have, in this church, we're going to have some struggles. But Christ has overcome those. And the more we get close to Him, the more we'll be not eliminated from those struggles, but enabled to get through them. The more the Spirit of Christ is in me and in you and in us, the more we'll be able not to avoid the struggles, but to get through the struggles in the way that Jesus wants us to. That's what Jesus was doing when He was equipping His people, was to get them through it, not out of it. So what's this message about? It's not that you're going to get kidney stones or that you need to ride your bike or anything. It's that life is difficult and Jesus is bigger. He's not going to exempt us. He's going to enable us to get through it. The verse that Grant read was this: set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I believe in our church body there's going to be a challenge to some of us as individuals at a faith level. I believe that. I don't know why. And I'm going to ask you to remember this, whether it's you or it's and somebody that you know of, to remind people of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that life's difficult and God's bigger, not to get you out of it, but to get you through it. I saw this picture and I really liked it. It's this. It's an eagle who grabbed a rabbit and he's trying to take it from this fox. And the fox is saying, nope, I'm hanging on. He's not willing. The enemy is going to try to steal your life. Not necessarily kill you, but steal your life in Christ. To beat you down and discourage you and cause little things to happen that are just worldly things. That's the only thing he can do is worldly things. And he's going to try and take your rabbit and fly away. Don't let go. That fox has said, nope, this is my life source. I have to have this rabbit because I will die without food. I don't know if he said that, but I'm thinking it. We as believers have to make a line in the sand and say, I know this thing is true. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And he promises I will not be given more than I can handle. And he promises that in this life you'll have trouble. Hold on to Jesus Christ this year and see if he will grow you in ways you didn't know you could be grown. I didn't know I needed to learn what Jerry taught me a couple of weeks ago. I didn't know it. I do now. Only because of the struggle and the willingness to learn. Have a willingness to learn this year. Hold on to Jesus. I think it'll be an amazing year. Amen. Amen.